Let's get a little bit of the history. We have Tim Simonson with us. Good morning, Tim. Thanks for joining us as well. When we were first, before we went on the air, you mentioned that you've kind of been really involved in the history of Wellington for quite a number of years.
Well,
in fact, you probably had things that have happened in history that you were a part of, I guess.
It gets scary, doesn't it?
Well, it does sometimes when you're thinking when it looks when something was new and now it's
I remember that
somehow historic on there. Why is there so many murals in this community? You see on buildings, on the side of this building, everywhere. There seems to be a lot of that.
Well, murals that are on the farm and home building. The first one depicts Myron T. Herrick. He was, among other things, was ambassador to France from 1912 to his death in 1929, and he was considered the most popular ambassador to France since Benjamin Franklin. He was born about 4.5 miles southwest of Wellington here, and among other things that he did for Wellington is he donated our library. So he's pretty remarkable history when the library came about and kind of an unusual story. When he was a little boy, the only thing we had for a library in town here were 8 books in a shoe store. And let's talk back in the 1850s. And that was a walk to walk into the town. By the time he was 18, he'd read those books like a zillion times over. He goes home one day and he kind of unceremoniously puts down the book that he's read for umpteen dozen times and says, "Ma, if I ever make anything of myself, I'm gonna make sure this area gets a library." And she said, "Well, Myron, when that time comes, you remember that." Well, he was governor of elect of the state of Ohio in 1903, and he'd made pretty good. He told that story in front of the library steps over there, and he says, "Mom, this is for you." It was just...
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, keeping a promise, I guess.
And he did.
Something very special. And there are different names. Herrick. What are some of the names out in the community?
Oh, Willard, certainly. Archibald Willard, who's the painter of the Spirit of 76. Archibald was born actually in Bedford, Ohio. He moved here when he was about 11 years old. His dad was the minister of Christ Church, which still stands across the track on West Herrick over here. Interesting story about his art careers. At 11 years old, when they moved to Wellington, his dad gives him the job of whitewashing the outhouse. Well, he didn't really, even kids don't like that work, and you're whitewashing an outhouse, but he gets it all done. Kind of stands back and he looks at it and he says, "Great place for a picture." So he finds a piece of charcoal and he draws a picture of his dad using the outhouse. Well, the neighbors thought it was kind of funny. His dad, however, did not find the humor in it. And of course he got tanned for it, but he was also... One of the neighbors was a Mr. Couch who owned the carriage company here in Wellington. And he knew the boy had some talent. So he gave him a job at the carriage works, actually striping and decorating the wagon or the carriages that they built. Somebody, it was like customizing a car in the day.
You detailing know, kind of.
Detailing,
doing
that. Yeah. And that was, he was... He left to enlist in the Civil War, and by the time he left, he was making $10 a week, which made him the highest paid employee of the carriage works. Now, during the Civil War, he thinks he's given up his paintbrushes for a rifle. But that's not what happened. As soon as they found out that he painted the carriages at home, they give him a paintbrush, and he's painting wagons for the U.S. Army. And he's in what was called the Western Army. And when there finally is a battle in between all the boredom there is of being a soldier, he does little sketches, or he does sketches of camp life. And they're humorous. And he does these for his buddies. His buddies send them home, and they get published in the paper. It's starting to build a little bit of a reputation for him. He comes back home. He's got this bright idea. He's going to do this big mural, a 360-degree mural that you can walk in. You can watch this battle scene. And he works forever on it. It's displayed at the Wellington Fair. He's charging 15 cents a piece to go in and see this thing. And he loses his shirt on it because people are so doggone tired of the war, they don't want to see anymore. He's a little discouraged. He's back at the carriage works painting, and the owner's two little daughters, the little trip girls, ask him if he wouldn't draw him a picture of a dog pulling a wagon. And they were, I think at the time, about 5 and 7 years old. So he draws this first one up here of kids in the wagon, a dog's chasing a rabbit, and they're going 90 miles an hour. And he titles that one Pluck One. Their dad thinks it's great. The girls love it. He takes it to Cleveland to have it framed. The framer there is a Mr. Ryder. He sees it. He frames it, puts it in the front window. People go by, and they love this thing. They think it's humorous, and they all want a copy. Well, Mr. Ryder was a lithographer, which, you know, a copperplate lithographer. Right. So they team up, and they make this first painting, which they call Pluck, and it goes national. I mean, people just love this thing. It's cute. People decorate their houses with prints at that time, and people would write him letters asking him what happened next. So he did Pluck 2, which shows the aftermath of this wild ride in the wagon. You have the kids kind of upended, the wagons turned upside down. One kid falls into a beehive and is batting at bees, and the dog finally has a rabbit in his mouth. Well, people think it's hysterical, so they start kind of this theme of doing, as Norman Rockwell would later, kind of everyday life in town, and he did a lot of that by using his friends and relatives around Wellington here to pose for these pictures that would be made into a lithograph. Well, we'll go forward to about 1874, and he's watching the 4th of July parade form up on East Herrick Street. Now, Mr. Ryder at that time has a studio over there where they're doing framing and lithography, and Willard has a painting studio in the area just above. He looks down from his window where the Chinese restaurant is now. He looks down and he sees the parade forming up, and there's two drummers and a fifer from the Brighton Fife and Drum Corps, and they're kind of clowning around. They might have had a little bit before the parade. Yeah, a couple of guys are throwing their sticks up in the air, and the fifer's got his head tilted black, and he does this little sketch quick, and he calls it Yankee Doodle. Well, months later, his partner is going through the sketches, trying to get ideas for a new print, comes across this one. He says, "Hey, you know, this is kind of funny. The centennial's coming up, which would have been 100th anniversary of the country. This has really got something going for it." He said, "Why don't we do something on the lines of this?" Well, Willard said he started out to do just that. And he said the more he tried to make it funny, the less funny it wanted to be. He started to think about the stories that his granddad had told him about the Revolutionary War and about seeing Washington and just how hard it was for those people at the time. And the comedy sketch got serious. He used his friend Hugh Mosher as the Pfeiffer. George Green was a little started out as the drummer, the old guy in the center. And his son was a little drummer boy. Well, the painting was actually started in this little shop in Wellington here, and it's about 12 by 13 feet, feet. It was a big canvas. He started it there. And it started to draw attention because he was painting it in the front window of this place, and it was drawing attention from as far off as Homerville. You know, people would bring their, hook the team up and come into town to watch him painting these three guys once a week. Well, Mr. Ryder saw the potential in this, so they moved the canvas and to Cleveland. They had a location, and he said, "Well, if it draws people out to Wellington, I'll certainly draw people into the shop in Cleveland." So there, it requires that the models be there in Cleveland once a week. Well, this is 1875. Only way to get to Cleveland is on the railroad, because it was a direct shot in. But it meant 5 miles of travel for these guys by horse and wagon to get to the station to go to Cleveland. Well, George Green and his son were kind of said, we're out, you know, we're running a farm. We can't manage this." But it was all right because they were pretty near completed, except for the faces. And Hugh Mosher, who was retired at that time, said, "Yeah, I can go in." So he continued to go in, and he had to find a replacement for the little drummer boy, and he found that in a kid that went to Cleveland Military Academy by the name of Harry Devereaux. Now, Harry was about the same size, had about the same look, so the painting was finished up using Harry. And his dad had recently died, and to honor him, he painted his face on George Green's body. The painting was finished up. It was taken into the centennial, and it was a hit right off the bat. Everybody was coming to see this, and they were prepared with lithographs in three different sizes, and they were selling these things. One of them gets to Washington, D.C. President Grant sees it and says, "Wow, you know." Now, the fair was opened unofficially 2 weeks before it would open on Memorial Day of 1876, and Grant would open it. He said, "I want to see that painting." So the fair board's all excited, so they get a hold of the models, they get a hold of the artist, and said, "We want you to come when the president reviews this picture." So they get a hold of Harry, they get a hold of Hugh, and they get a hold of Archibald, and they were all there when the president came. Now, there's an account by Harry Devereaux that said that the president stood in front of that painting for a long time and he pulled out his handkerchief and he dabbed his eyes. He looked over, it's a very moving painting, it's Marblehead, Massachusetts now. And he looks over and he sees Hugh standing there, and Hugh was 6'6", and President Grant's about 5 foot nothing. And it said President Grant went up to Hugh and looked up at him and said, "Are you the fella in that picture?" And it said Hugh straightened right up to his 6'6", like he'd had a ramrod shoved through him, and he saluted and said, "Yes, sir, Hugh Mosher, sir." And it said Grant laughed a little bit and said, "Hugh, I only know two tunes. One of them's Yankee Doodle and one of them isn't. Would you mind playing Yankee Doodle for me?" So Hugh played Yankee Doodle on his fife while Harry accompanied him on the drum. Until Hugh died, that was the big moment in his life.
Performance for the president.
That's, performance for the president.
You can't really top that. We are speaking today with Tim Simonson, historian here in Wellington. It's a great story you have about that. Before we let you go, how many Spirit of 76 paintings are there out there?
Well, the last count was 22 that were original paintings that he'd done, 22 copies of the Spirit of 76. And every once in a while, one shows up that they don't realize that there is. In fact, there's one that he painted specifically for President Grant and is at his home in Illinois. Pardon me, his home in Illinois.
Right. Well, there is one here in Wellington.
Yeah, the very last copy done in 1916 is in the library, and I think it's one of his best.
He had a lot of practice after doing it. He kind of knew where the colors go and how to make it work, I guess, and do it in a...
And everyone's a little bit different.
Well, it's interesting to hear the story of an artist who also had a little bit of a commerce mind, figuring out how to make money as an artist, not just to put something and be remembered, but obviously taking advantage of the...
Since 1910, it's always been, we always have a trio to lead the Memorial Day parade and the 4th of July parade, and that's been done since 1910 consecutively. Wow.
Well, people can stop by the Spirit of 76 Museum as well and find out more. As you mentioned, in the library, they can see the painting there as well. But there's a lot of great history in Wellington, and we appreciate Tim coming in this morning, sharing some of that. Appreciate
Thank you much.
Your time this morning.